Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. May the Lord bless the hearing and the reading of his holy word. Please be seated.
Good morning. It's an honor to be here before you all this morning. A few weeks ago, Pastor Katie asked me to come and share with you all this morning why the heartfelt ministry is so important to me. And she also asked me to share how the heartfelt ministry got started in Calvert County. After I met with Pastor Katie, I spent some time in prayer. Will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight. Lord, you are my rock and my redeemer. Amen. During the time I was praying to God, he provided me with this beautiful devotional that was written by Dr. Charles Stanley. The title of the devotional is Influences from Childhood. The scripture reference is the passage from Isaiah that was read earlier. And Dr. Stanley wrote, "No one's childhood is perfect. What we experience during those years has a profound impact even into adulthood. Things we saw, heard, felt, and even things we did not feel can affect us later in life. As one might expect, external influences do help to shape our personality. However, the result is not always predictable. For example, early years full of painful experiences leave deep wounds in some, but in others they contribute to the development of depth and perseverance. Whether your younger years were joyful or painful, it can be valuable to consider what their impact was, back then as well as in the present. You might start by exploring your responses to key childhood events. Next, identify traits that you appreciated in your parents and others, qualities you'd like to nurture in your own life. Finally, think about people with characteristics that impacted you negatively. Ask God for healing and freedom from the patterns you may have developed in response. Then shift your focus to godly attributes you want to exhibit instead, such as peace, grace, and gentleness. The Heavenly Father wants to free you from any negative trends that took root early in life. He can break any unhealthy pattern and replace it with hope and deep satisfaction in Him. As you explore the effects of childhood experiences, pray to see through a lens of truth. When you recognize ways that others negatively influenced you, pray for strength to forgive and God's help in mending areas of brokenness, whether spiritual, emotional, relational, or mental." Unquote. I will be referring back to Dr. Stanley's devotional from time to time during this message. Let me warn you, sometimes I get very emotional when I share what I'm about to share with you. Sometimes I cry like a baby. But that's okay. Real men do cry. Dr. Stanley said, no one's childhood is perfect. What we experienced during those years has a profound impact, even into adulthood. Things we saw, heard, felt, and even things we did not feel can affect us later in life. My childhood was nearly perfect for the first few years. My dad was a dairy farmer in the Finger Lakes region of upstate New York. We had a 110-acre dairy farm where we had chickens, hogs, and approximately 30 dairy cows. Our farmhouse was on one side of the old country road that we lived on, and the barn was on the other side of the road. Everything was going great. One day, Dad had been down at the barn, and I was 4 years old at the time when it happened. Dad had collapsed in the middle of the road. A passerby stopped and helped Mom get Dad into the house. Dad had suffered a crippling stroke at the age of 35. I still had the visions of Dad having convulsions where he was sitting in the chair and stamping his feet on the floor. Meanwhile, Mom was trying desperately to use the telephone to get help. We were on one of them old party lines, you know, where a bunch of families are on the same line. The phone that we had was an old wooden box that was mounted on the wall. You had to stand and talk into the mouthpiece and hold the earpiece to your ear. It was one of those old Lily Tomlin one-ringy-dingy, two-ringy-dingy phone systems. We lost the farm. We lost our home. And we were able to get help from the welfare system financially. And we could receive surplus food. We were eventually able to move into an old family home. The passage that was just read from the book of Romans is what I refer to as my life verse. And I prefer the New International Version of the Bible for this passage because it uses the word perseverance, where most versions use endurance. You know, we can endure things and not be graceful about it. One of my definitions of perseverance is enduring with grace. You know, we can endure things and but be angry, bitter, but not to me. Perseverance is not that. You know, it's endurance with grace, and it's also having passionate peace during the most difficult times. After Dad suffered the stroke, he found that the best therapy for him was going back to his farming roots of working the ground. My dad, my brother, and I started working the ground together, side by side, turning the ground over by hand with picks and shovels, preparing the soil for a beautiful and prosperous garden. It was during those times that Dad was teaching us about perseverance and building character in us. The harvest gave Dad hope. Hope that even though he was physically disabled, that he could still do something to provide for his family. Dad suffered greatly his entire life. He persevered. He taught his children character. And even though Dad was suffering with tremendous pain, I cannot remember a time when he did not have a smile on his face. And that smile represented the hope that he was given through the Holy Spirit. We were one of the poorest families financially in the small town that I grew up in. It was not easy growing up in a small town. Believe it or not, I was bullied. There were times when I was gang bullied by several kids at one time. I felt isolated at times because other kids shunned me because I was different than them. The clothes that I wore were not as nice as theirs. Some of the clothes that I wore had patches. And most of the time, my clothes didn't always fit right. I suffered with periods of depression. I was different from most children that were my age due to my size. I was even treated differently by adults than other kids my age, especially teachers. They thought that I was older than the kids in my class. Fortunately, there were some people that helped us in many ways. Most helped us anonymously. Some gave my siblings and I gifts at Christmas and at other times during the year. Others provided us with holiday food baskets. These are a few of the things that I remember that some people gave of themselves out of their generosity for me and my family, anonymously. Those things impacted me significantly. I started realizing this over the years when I look back on those times. I asked myself many times, how can I ever repay those that did things so generously for me and my family? What they gave to us was priceless. And most of those did so anonymously, and even though if we knew who they were, they had passed on by the time I wanted to do something about it. April 27, 2002 was a day of transformation for me. Prior to that date, I attended church and an adult Sunday school class regularly, but I was a pew potato. I just sat there and listened and did nothing. I stayed within my comfort zone. In April of 2002, I took a giant leap out of my comfort zone and went on a spiritual retreat weekend. It was during that weekend that I finally accepted Jesus Christ into my heart. And since that day, I have been doing things that I would have told you before ain't going to happen. One of those things was flying. I would have told you if God wanted me to fly, he would have given me wings. Took my first flight in June of 2011 and have taken several flights since then. Another thing that I would have told you that I would not do would be public speaking. Look where I'm at. Since I accepted Jesus into my heart, he has shown me that when he calls me to step out of my comfort zone, that he is calling me to step into Jesus' comfort zone. In 2008, Jesus called me to become a certified lay minister. It was during the certified lay minister training that God started nudging me again. He reminded me of what I went through as a child. He reminded me of those that anonymously helped me and my family. I asked God, how can I ever repay those that helped us? God reminded me of these words. Be someone to somebody. Those words were shared over and over by Pastor Grace Imithew at Rock 2008 in Ocean City. God touched me with those words that day. And during one of the breaks, I was able to talk to Pastor Grace, and she told me to be some people to many with joy. I went away from that weekend with those words in my mind and in my heart. I asked God several times over the next 4 years, how can I be someone to somebody? How can I be some people to many with joy? In June of 2012, God gave me his answer. And he gave it to me through this scripture. And it's Proverbs 22:6, teach a child to choose the right path, and when he is older, he will remain upon it. Then through a vision, God reminded me of a ministry that my daughter, Jackie, was involved with in her church in Tampa, Florida, called Heartfelt. God told me to work together with other churches to fill empty little tummies of every hungry child in each of Calvert County's elementary schools and beyond. God showed me with a Heartfelt ministry that we could pay forward to other children and their families what I received many years ago. I approached a couple members at Trinity United Methodist Church that work in the elementary schools. One of them at the time was the principal at Barstow Elementary, Miss Donna Hiles, and the other is a teacher at Calvert Elementary, Miss Christy Lee. I talked to both of them about the Heartfelt ministry and found out that there was a tremendous need for the Heartfelt ministry in the schools. I then took the idea to the senior pastor at Trinity, which at the time was Pastor Charles Harrell. He gave his approval and told me to go to our missions committee. The missions committee overwhelmingly approved it. And we went forward and made a presentation to the congregation. And I was overwhelmed with how well it was received. It was not easy getting the ministry started at Trinity with the school system. We did have to encounter some of Satan's stumbling blocks. In the earlier service, there was a song that was done that some of the words were, there are no detours in heaven. Well, we had to take a few detours to get around some of the stomach blocks that Satan provided for us. But God turned those stomach blocks into stepping stones. It also took us some time to collect a sufficient amount of food in our Heartfelt food pantry. We were able to make our first delivery of backpacks for 9 children to Barstow Elementary School January 18th, 2013. That was 6 years ago. When we delivered the backpacks that day, we were able to meet a few of the children that were receiving the backpacks, and their reactions were priceless. There was one child, he grabbed his backpack and gave it a bear hug. He was so overwhelmed. Every week after we packed the backpacks, I pray over each one of them. I would pray for each child that was receiving the backpacks, and I would pray for the families of each child. Dr. Stanley wrote, as one might expect, external influences do help to shape our personality. However, the result is not always predictable. For example, early years full of painful experiences leave deep wounds in some but in others. They contribute to the development of depth and perseverance. I discovered as I was praying over the backpacks that I had some painful experiences that I thought were gone. Those old wounds have been lying dormant inside of me for many years. As they are coming to the surface, Satan is using some of them to remind me of the difficult times of living in poverty. The wounds of the bullying that I received, the wounds of isolation, the wounds of depression, the wounds of the memories of what I saw and heard when Dad was having the stroke. I also have wounds of shame and guilt and other things. I struggled with those old wounds. They were bad enough that I needed and received pastoral counseling for several months. Dr. Stanley wrote, "The Heavenly Father wants to free you from any negative trends that took root in life. He can break any unhealthy pattern and replace it with hope and deep satisfaction. As you explore the effects of childhood experiences, pray to see through a lens of truth. When you recognize ways that others negatively influenced you, pray for strength to forgive and to ask God's help in mending areas of brokenness, whether spiritual, emotional, relational, or mental. Now God is showing me why I know the pain and the suffering that the children are suffering from that we are serving in the Heartfelt program. Many times as I'm working in the Heartfelt ministry, I'm shedding tears. Some of those are tears of joy, as I've seen and heard the good news of the children's reactions when they receive the backpacks each week. Some of those are tears of sadness and pain that the children are suffering. I know, I've been there. I've walked in their shoes. Some 2,000 years ago, God sent His Son to do the same for us. Jesus came to feel our pain and our suffering. He took that pain and suffering to the cross for each one of us. He knows our pain. He knows our sufferings. And He has walked in our shoes. Thank you, Jesus. My wounds are healed now, but the scars remain. The scars are a reminder that God's grace is sufficient. But those scars are also reminders of the wounds of the children that we're serving by filling their empty little tummies are suffering from. Those scars are also reminders of the children that still have empty little tummies. Right now, in Calvert County, we are 17 churches working in all of the Calvert County elementary schools and the middle schools. Together with the help of organizations that are partnering with us, End Hunger of Calvert County, and Farm for Hunger, and everyone that has donated food or donated financially, we have touched the lives of more than 320 children during the 2017-28 school year. Together, we are paying forward some of what I received as a child many years ago. I pray that some of these children will one day be able to look back and see how they were helped and pay it forward to another child or many children. We're not finished yet. We still have a long way to go. I ask you, is Jesus calling you to step out of your comfort zone? Do you feel like He is nudging you to do something that is out of your comfort zone? The Heartfelt ministry has gone way beyond the vision that God gave me during the summer of 2012. I sometimes wonder, what if I had not stepped out of my comfort zone and stepped into Jesus' comfort zone? I wonder if there would be a Heartfelt ministry. Always remember, when Jesus calls you to step out of your comfort zone, that you are stepping into Jesus' comfort zone with Jesus. Now, this, in the earlier service, I was given a list of folks that are working in the Heartfelt ministry here. And I understand that you all are serving 15 children at a local school now. The names I was given was Sandy Duncan, Terry Van, I'm not sure what the rest of it is, Rick Martin, Sue Ryder, Jean Rothwell, and I understand Dee Snyder. Is she here today? That she's also working in the Heartfelt ministry. And that team cannot do it by themselves. They need the support of everyone. And thank you all for what you all are doing. God bless you all.